Hello and welcome to Sbrofcast, the English language Sbrofka but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm Thankful Toon.
Thankful Toon?
Thankful Toon.
What's that then?
It's something that you put on Facebook today.
Oh yes, the lovely list of names from, what was it?
17th and 18th century Quaker names.
That's right, Quaker names, yeah.
So you can have a name as well. I feel the one that suits you best is Wonderful Warwick.
Wonderful Warwick.
Wonderful Warwick.
I mean, it is a nice place, and it's just down the road.
So. I looked over this for a solid 20 minutes today. Charity nut.
Yeah.
Marvellous Scanfield.
What was experience cupping? I like that.
Yes, there's experience cupping.
As two men approaching a certain age, experience cupping should be, you know, a weekly health measure, I feel.
Rich whale. That's something that something that this club needs, I feel, because unfortunately, listener, it is a Zbrojovka Brno podcast you're listening to.
It is, yeah. We've got 8 big fat sections. We're going to look back.
How many of them are we going to be upset in?
I'd say most of them.
At least one of them is drinking beer.
Yeah, that's, you know, they say alcohol is a depressant, and that's coming towards the end, so we won't have that long to go, at least. Yeah, we're going to look back at Bannikin Pardubice. We have a state of play update. We have a very quickly written this evening director of football update. We've got not one but 2 quizzes, Hot or Not and Beer of the Podcast. So we won't dwell too much on the actual football. We might just do fun stuff instead.
I think we should just get stuck in.
Yeah, it's really hitting kind of, you know, towards the end of the year at primary school vibes, where it's just like video lessons and bring your own board games in at this point.
Anything to distract. Well, I mean, fair play to the club trying to distract us from what's happening on the field with being a basket case off the field.
Absolutely. Right. Let's talk about on the field next with some Bannik action. That, ladies and gentlemen, was a song you'll know very well. It's called Entrance of the Gladiators, or Entry of the Gladiators. I'm not sure which was the correct translation, but it was by Julius Fučík, who was a Slovak, who originally wrote it for an opera, and it was supposed to be the grand entrance of gladiators, but is now the theme for the clown car falling apart that is Zbrojovka. And we got to stage one of that 2 weeks ago against Bannik away.
Can I just say, just before we go into it?
Yeah.
A couple of days leading up to that match, decided to just get very drunk. So I got very drunk in a number of pubs and was in a wine bar, which is next door to my flat, and drunkenly agreed to go to this game, as I believe you did as well. I'm very glad that that plan fell through. Because we ended up not going to the game, but watching it live from the pub.
Mine was not drunkenly. Mine was, I might go, but I'm feeling a bit rough.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I'm gonna reel myself back from that one slightly, which I'm also glad that I was actually feeling quite crap. So I decided not to go in the end as well. It was a lovely day for it up in Ostrava. It looked like
It was not a lovely day here.
No, it was not. It was slashing down rain. And yeah, we watched it in the pub instead. Yeah, I haven't got many notes. We don't really need them. So please excuse my match reporting. I've busted whichever hand it is I match report with.
Yeah. So, I mean, for those who are unaware of the scoreline, it was Bannik Ostrava 4, Zbrojovka Brno 0. And it was an impressively bad result.
Yeah. Stats-wise, the studio pundits really laid into us at half-time with just a string of zeros. It was,
But let's not talk about the players.
They were basically going like, you know, percentage possession in Ostrava's half, 12%. Shots, 0. Shots on target, 0. touches in the opposition's penalty area, zero. And that pretty much tells the story of the game.
We had a shot on goal in the second half.
Yeah, wasn't on target, but we had a shot on goal.
For a team that has been pretty good against Banik Ostrava this season,
yeah,
that was... it was quite something.
It really was.
I mean, there was a conga line leaving the stadium for Zbrojovka fans, because I don't think the away section stayed until full time.
It was very much a, you know, let's pretend we've scored a goal thing, wasn't it? We're shit and we know we are. Which was a weird thing to say. It actually got quite a strong backlash on social media with other Zbrojovka fans who weren't there going, what the hell is this? Like, you know, this is no laughing matter at this point, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, all right, the only thing I can really say about this match, right, is that Banik's fourth goal is a screamer.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely
goal. Absolute blinder, yeah.
And that one, you can't really fault anyone for. The rest of them, I mean, we could talk through goal by goal, but there's not really any point. Like, if you basically go and listen back to one of our matches against, let's say, at home to Yablonets, or at home to Hradec Kralove, or at home to, I think, Victoria Pilsen, any one of those goal descriptions will have summed up a goal that we conceded in this game.
Yeah. It's basically either Jan Hlavica or Jakub Šural being the wrong side of a forward as a cross comes in.
Yeah. And
that's pretty much it.
Or there's one player in the box who is able to get onto the ball despite there being six Zbrojovka players around them.
Yeah.
Wasn't impressed.
No. Is that all we're doing on that, or do we have anything more to say?
I mean, not really. I mean, it almost makes sense to then just immediately just go on through to Pardubice.
Okay, let's do that after this little bit. All right, yeah, then we played part of it at home, the weekend just gone. I went to see it. There was a couple of people there. It was me, Ben, Liam, Fraser, Kevin turned up, Yerzy, obviously, Pavel. Mm-hmm. So there was a fair number of us. And what did we see? Well, it was piss poor again. Yeah, I mean...
maybe before you get into it.
Yeah.
The one thing that came out of the Banik Ostrava game was that there was a concerted effort by a section of the supporters' base to use this match as some sort of protest against the ownership of the club by Bartoniek.
Yeah.
And at the time, I thought that that wasn't actually a very good strategy, in the sense that right now, the team's in a dogfight and need your backing. I think I've probably 180'd on that opinion now. But was there much of a presence at the game?
No, not really. What happened was there was a kind of disaffected supporters union made up of the people to the top left of us normally, the kind of older fans. And they had organised a kind of splinter group, and they had been preparing protests and things and banners and stuff. And eventually the ultras caught on and thought, well, we should probably do something rather than sort of splitting supporters' loyalties. And they prepared a couple of banners. We were told previously, don't put any flags on the fence. We're leaving it empty apart from the, you know, big bit of TIFO that said Bartoniek sell up, basically. And there was the occasional kind of Bartoniek Ven bit of chanting, a couple of other bits of TIFO going up, but it was all a bit half-hearted, really.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, I would have liked a lot more vitriol. You know, if we're going to support a cause, it would be nice to do it all in one and going in the same direction quite vitriolically, rather than just... It just felt a bit like tokenistic, really. I think mainly because everyone's just sick of it. Everyone's just really just tired. Everyone just seems really tired.
Yeah, I mean, that is, to be honest with you, that's the reason I didn't go to to the match because...
That and Eurovision.
Well, I was Eurovision, I was a little bit hungover. I wasn't so bad, but frankly, it's got to the point I didn't want to go.
Oh, okay.
I didn't really want to go out in the rain and see basically that leaderless team struggle for 90 minutes against a team that they are on paper far better than.
I don't know. You'd have seen Ben with a selection of nice umbrellas. That was quite cute.
Yes, I'm told. Yeah, I'm told lovely, so.
Yeah. But no, it was like, it's, you know, in our little bit, it was very convivial as it always is. But yeah.
I'm just fucking fed up of it though. Like, yeah. This is it. Like, and I mean, it's been threatening for some time, for sure. But like, every performance is just completely gutless. Like, from your perspective, were there any positives to take from that game?
No. No. I just went really Andy Gray for a second there. No.
Yeah.
I mean, I can give you a quick sort of potted summary
of it.
Yes,
let's do that.
First half, I've just written really, 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 really poor. I know that Martin Hašek was brought in to do his kind of defensive solidity Bohemians vibe.
Yeah.
That's clearly not working, and it's not what we need right now.
Yeah.
We need a bit more gung-ho. After about 10 minutes, we were already five at the back and panicking and dropping deep. Part of it's a score just after half an hour through Martin Klimetsky, and we just offer nothing. In the second half, we at least come out a bit stronger, and we had not one but two penalties.
Yeah.
Jarabek initially fouls Ali, and it's penalty number one, which is saved by Florin Nita
from Rezniček.
And 3 minutes later, and it's a challenge by Nita on the little butcher himself, leads to penalty two, which Nita saves again.
Good save, I thought.
Yes, again from Rezniček. But it's... I mean, this sort of sums up where this team is right now. It's the man you'd put your money on to score.
Yeah.
And we're going so rapidly and so catastrophically backwards. We offer him up two penalties and he fluffs them both. I mean, at the final whistle, he's in tears and describes it as the worst moment of his career, which is, I mean, you know, fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, he genuinely looked broken at the end. Like, he genuinely looked like he wanted the ground to open up. And then, to add insult to injury, Ladislav Krobot scores in the 90th minute and makes it 2-0. But after all, he is a Krobot. Living like a Krobot. Like a Krobot in the habitating way.
Da-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah. that joke will last forever. Yeah.
Just fed up of talking about the team, frankly. You know? It's just... I mean, this is the huge problem. I mean, we've been a defensive... I mean, arguably... I mean, there's a strong argument to be made here, David. The Zbrojovka have been a defensive train wreck since the days of Mihalek, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, a special sort of bad this season, I feel. And when we were making the joke, you know, that... top scorer in the Kuba Trešnjiček. When was the last time that, you know, someone was the top scorer in the league got relegated? Well, he might not be the top scorer now because he's stopped scoring.
Yeah.
Everyone stopped scoring.
Yeah, it's because...
Some people didn't start scoring in the first place.
Yeah, like I said, it's because tactically we're just retreating. We're not even getting people up into spaces where goals are even possible. Yeah, and that was it. It was really so, so bad. Anyway, we're going to look at the state of play later on to see if we can even possibly drag ourselves out of this complete tailspin that we're in. Before that, would you like a quiz?
Yeah, sure.
We've got two quizzes coming up. Let's do one of them now. It's quiz time, and it's an Only Connect quiz. Right, it's not completely following the Only Connect format.
Okay.
But
so it's not an Only Connect quiz.
Well,
it's sometimes a Connect quiz.
It's an often Connect quiz. I mean, each of them has a connection in it, but they're not in the same format. Anyway, you'll see what I mean. Right, question one. Juventus are nicknamed La Vecchia Signora,
the old lady.
The old lady. Good. The old lady.
Yeah, the old lady. Is this now just us going into in-jokes from things like Friends
absolutely,
and
yeah.
popular indie band The Futureheads?
Anyway, the old lady. But which German club also has that nickname?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know. I'll have an educated guess. I'm going to assume it's a Bundesliga team.
Yes.
Okay. I know a nickname for a lot of the teams. I don't know a nickname for some of them. So ones that I don't know, I might have as a guess.
Right.
It's old something. Is it Hertha Berlin?
It is Hertha Berlin.
Yes, let's go.
The Alte Dame.
Uh-huh,
yes.
Good.
Who are
going down.
Basically dead and buried, yeah. Question two. What connects East Kilbride, Holywell, Plymouth, and I think Lurgan?
Ooh. Lurgan. So Lurgan's Northern Ireland. East Kilbride is in Scotland. Plymouth.
Uh-huh.
And...
Holywell.
Holywell is in Wales.
Yes.
This is probably wrong.
Okay.
Is it football related?
They're all football related.
Because...
it's a football podcast.
But I'm just like, because East Kilbride... team isn't very big. It isn't very good. Lurgan have a team called Lurgan Celtic. I know that.
Right.
Plymouth have a team called... Is it... All right, I'm just going to go with the colour green.
Oh, you were so going in the right direction. I thought you were going to get it.
Go on.
For a minute.
Something to do with birds?
No. Plymouth is the largest... settlement in England never to have a top flight team.
Oh.
They are all the towns never to have a top flight team in their respective leagues.
Oh, okay.
Lurgan, this is my own research and it took me a long time. I'm not sure it's completely right because there are places like Newton Abbey and Castlereagh that might not have hosted top flight football, but they may have been swallowed up by Belfast, which has.
Okay.
You see, and... the other problem is that Northern Irish football is mental. It goes into senior, intermediate and junior status and the leagues have been reorganised three times since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like, you know, Wikipedia articles don't go back that far for Northern Irish. Anyway, that's what I think anyway. So East Kilbride, 75,000-ish people.
Yeah.
And has never hosted top flight football. Holywell, Wales is a weird one because all the big settlements are in the English league, obviously.
True.
So like there are only small places like, you know, Merthyr and mm-hmm. you know Ballatown and places like that. Plymouth definitely is, and I think,
have Argyle never been in the top flight?
Sorry,
Argyle never been in the top flight?
No, they
feel to me like a 1950s team. That's, you know,
no, it used to be Hull and then they got Premier League.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It just threw me because East Kilbride's team is in the Lowland League and they're not amazing in the Lowland League either. So I thought it couldn't have anything to do with East Kilbride FC, but I suppose it does. So.
Yeah. All right, number three. The Georgian national team shares a nickname with the full name of a team in the Northern Ireland Premier League. What name is that? So the nickname of the Georgian team and the name of a team in the Northern Ireland...
the Dansk Bank Premiership.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is it Dungannon Swifts, David? okay, I can probably think about this. The best thing about doing a podcast is that you can edit out dead air.
Yes.
Right. I am now going to... Northern Ireland Premiership. Right. I'm...
The
full name of it.
The Niffle.
The full name of it.
Well, apart from football club.
Of course, yes. Yeah. But like...
yeah.
All right, because I'm now just going to have to piece together.
Okay.
Things. All right, so teams in Northern Ireland, right? Glentoran, Linfield, Coleraine, Larne. But they're not all, you know, but they don't have a... No, right, okay, can I ask for a... can I get a clarification here?
Yeah.
Is this one of these ones where it is... where the name, just the name of it, and all that, happens to be the same spelling as a name of something in Georgian that means like
It is the literal translation of that, I mean, it's not taken from the Irish club name.
Of course.
But, yeah, the word is exactly the same, and it's from the same etymology and everything.
Okay, it's not in Belfast. What are they called? No, it's not. Cliftonville doesn't make any sense. Crusaders.
Very good. Yeah, there you go. Really well worked out. Well
hiding
done.
In there somewhere.
Yeah, well
I
done.
I was between that. I was thinking initially Institute, but I think Institute are no longer in the top flight.
No, apparently the Georgia national football team nickname of the Crusaders comes from a story when there was a crusade from around the year 800 where a bunch of French crusaders got lost and wandered away from sort of Turkey and that area and sort of settled in Georgia. So, really? The Georgian team are known as the Crusaders.
I'll tell you what, David, fascinating quiz, actually. you're going to be severely disappointed by mine.
All right, what connects? Campo de Football de Vallecas, Madrid.
Oh, no.
Stade Bauer, Paris.
Uh-huh.
The Avaya Stadium, San Jose. And the Kassam Stadium, Oxford.
Okay.
There are a few more I could have used for this, but I thought that would have made it too easy.
Oh, okay. So, the only two that I recognise. So, the Kassam is Oxford United,
I think. It is, yeah.
And Stade Bayer, I think, is Paris Red Star?
It is, yeah.
Now, does the Kassam Stadium have three stands? Do they all have three stands?
They all have three stands.
Okay, nice.
Can you name the team who plays at Campo de Football de Vallecas, Madrid?
I'm assuming it's Rayo.
Yep, it is. Yep, they've got like a sort of a wall and then a block of flats on one side. And the Avaya Stadium, San Jose, has a very flat one end, which supposedly houses the longest bar in a stadium in the world.
Okay. Is that San Jose in Chile?
No, San Jose Earthquakes.
Oh, okay, right.
And finally, what connects Torpeda Moscow, FC Sochaux Montbéliard, VfL Wolfsburg, and Yokohama F Marinos?
Torpeda Moscow, Wolfsburg,
Sochaux.
Sochaux, okay.
And Yokohama F Marinos.
Of the J League.
That's right.
That's an interesting one. Okay, so. So Wolfsburg is a team that's just it's a nothing town, isn't it? The town is just a car for car factories, isn't it?
I mean, you know, there's a town.
Yes, I know, but it is just
right.
It's sure. Just there for it's very much in the same way as Lada Boleslav is just Skoda, you know, isn't it? It's where all the Volkswagen are done, isn't it, Wolfsburg?
Yeah, I mean, it was a sort of factory
team. Am I on entirely the wrong lines there if I'm talking about things like factory and works teams?
All the information is on the task.
One more time, David.
The four teams.
Torpedo Moscow.
Yeah. FC Sochaux Montbéliard.
Yeah.
VfL Wolfsburg and Yokohama F Marinos.
Right, this is going to... I'm going to take an absolute punt here.
Okay.
Have they all won their respective leagues once and once only?
No.
Okay. My second guess would have been: Are they all works teams
specifically?
Cars.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yokohama do the fucking tires and stuff, don't they?
No. That's not wrong? It. No. I mean, there is a tire company called Yokohama, but that's a different organization. Wolfsburg, as you said, is Volkswagen. Torpedo was the Zill car factory.
Okay.
Yokohama F Marinos was the Nissan works team.
Oh, was it?
No? Yeah. And Sochaux was the Peugeot works team. So there you go. Yes, a decent effort.
I'll take it.
Really well reasoned. A lot of them. I like your thinking.
That's the only, I'm going to play that back a number of times if I'm ever in like a work meeting and go, well, one person thought I could work things out. Good quiz. I enjoyed that, David.
Right. Let's go on to Hot or Not. What happens when you think of Hot or Not? We do it all again. We do it over again.
Okay.
That's it.
Yes.
That's the end.
That is, I mean, you've already had a Future Heads reference in this podcast, and that
we're going very northeast.
That would be Newcastle Heroes Maximo Park.
That would be, I think, Sunderland Heroes Maximo Park.
Sunderland is the Future Heads. I think Maximo Park are Newcastle.
Kev, where are you? Anyway, yes.
I'm looking it up as we speak.
Name of the song?
I think it's Apply Some Pressure.
It is. Do you know why...
Newcastle, Maxima Parker, Newcastle.
Oh, right, okay.
Get it up here. Anyway. All right.
Do you know why I chose that song?
Because you like that song.
Yes, and also a certain trigger is 18 years old this week. Today, in fact.
Oh, no.
It's 18 years old today.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God. The relentless marching of time.
Everyone who is around our age is now just desperately, desperately reassessing their lives out there. Sorry, listener, if you know that record. It's a great record.
It's a good record, yeah. I saw them in Prague.
Paul Smith actually played in Prague about a month ago. His solo thing.
Oh, really? So,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, apparently he was very good. Right, I've got two very quick ones, a hot and a not.
Okay, good. I think I know what your hot is.
What do you think my hot is?
I think your hot is Mark Robbins' new deal at Coventry.
It is absolutely not, because, Mark Robbins has signed a new deal at Coventry for four more years of the King.
Four more years.
Thanks for that. No, my hot is an open-top scaffolding lorry parade.
Please continue.
Dorley Town won the Salop Leisure Football League.
That's not a league.
It is. It's equivalent of the 11th tier, and it's in Shropshire.
Okay.
And the Dorley Town squad celebrated by hooning around Dorley on the back of a scaffolding truck waving flares.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's brilliant. There's photos and everything.
I'll have to have a look at this.
Yeah. What do you got?
I've got two knots.
Okay.
And actually, for the they are from the same division, actually. So
what,
my...
the Salop Leisure...
No, that's slightly... Well, also, look. All right, so my first note is Max Cleworth's summer holiday.
Who's Max Cleworth and what he's going on the summer holiday?
He's a defender, and he's a defender with National League champions Wrexham.
Right.
So you'll recall that after they won the league and the return to EFL football,
yep.
After some time away... the celebrity owners, Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds,
yes.
Took the whole squad out to Vegas.
Mm.
So, you know, got some drinks, get to see the sights, see the casinos and all and stuff like that. It's pretty difficult to get into a Las Vegas casino or get alcohol if you are 20-year-old Max, who was not able to actually enjoy point of going to Las Vegas because he's not 21, so he couldn't gamble, he couldn't drink.
Bless him.
So Max Cleworth, unlucky son.
My heart goes
out
to Max Cleworth. Dear me. That is sad. All right, I've got a quick knot. This is quite a personal one. It's the June international break.
Yes.
I'm going on a little tour through Scandinavia in June. I'm arriving in Gothenburg lunchtime, Saturday, June 17th. There are at least two teams in the top two leagues in Sweden. I thought there's going to be a game on Sunday, somewhere, either Saturday or Sunday. No, it's a bloody international break. And it's the only time I'm in a city of a weekend. Great. Thanks for that, UEFA.
That's a shame.
It really is.
It's a shame, yeah.
I was really looking forward to seeing, you know, IFK Gothenburg or Örebro. Whatever the other Gothenburg teams are. Yeah. You have another knot, apparently.
Yeah, my other knot is Chesterfield.
Oh,
so
yeah, the Spireites.
The Spireites losing out on promotion to League Two.
Yeah.
And I thought just in a particularly cruel way, took the lead early in their playoff final against Notts County. County equalised in the 88th minute of regular time, going to stoppage time. Chesterfield score. I believe it's something like 10 minutes before the... the end of extra time, Notts County equalise. Notts County end up returning to League Two on the back of a penalty shootout.
Mm.
That seems a particularly egregious way to...
It is tough, but Notts County finished like God knows how many points ahead.
Sure, but then...
This is why you need two promotion places and then a play. You need to treat the National League with much more respect now, because there are so many professional teams down there. One directly up is completely unfair, I think. It needs to be two up and then like a playoff for like, you know, maybe two, maybe four people.
It's a weird sort of playoff thing as well. It is, So I'm not really so
sure. It's very weighted against the lower league teams. And I feel sorry for Chesterfield, but if Notts County finish, what was it, like 26 points above them or something and still have, you know, don't go up automatically, that's also pretty tough as well.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, I doubt anyone in the Chesterfield end at Wembley not be... Well, think of it this way.
Right, after those, we are going to look at what is on my list next. Yes! And it is the sudden exit of Tomasz Pożar. I had one headline for this, which was Wczera było pozdnie for Pożar. Yesterday wasn't soon enough for sporting director Tomasz Pożar, who does not or did not get enough of the ire of supporters, or got some ire, but it was mainly reserved for owner Václav Bartoniek. But Pożar had stepped down. Jumped, pushed, we don't know.
Stepped down with three games to play in the season.
Yeah, curious one.
Strange one.
Yeah, there was sort of word coming out that he basically had no power anymore, and he didn't even know that Martin Hašek was going to get promoted or that Dostalek was going to get the boot.
And I believe, disagreed with the decision, is what I hear privately.
Yeah, but he's been in... he's been in the position for 5 years and he hasn't exactly covered himself in glory transfer-wise, which is, I believe, what he was supposed to be doing.
If he's supposed to be,
sporting director.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be in charge of all this sort of stuff, isn't he?
Yeah. A quick list of players he's let go.
Give us the highlights.
Alex Kral,
mm-hmm.
who we let go to, I think, Boleslav B, maybe? Ladislav Krejci, who we lost to Sparta on a free.
And is now their captain.
Yep. We got
30 million crowns for him, I think.
Yeah, we got 300,000 euros for Krejci.
Oh, I thought we got 30 million crowns.
Well, I saw 300,000 euros. Either way. David Jurásek, who we let drop down a division and then Slavia now have him. Lukasz Forlicki, who I can't remember where we let him go. Daniel Fila, who we let go to Sigma Olomouc. We did get some money for him. That was €500,000.
What was he Sigma? I thought Fila was Mladá Boleslav.
Oh, sorry, yeah, Boleslav, and then yeah.
The others went to Sigma Olomouc.
Antonín Rusek, for example. Soon Shevchik is off, and possibly, probably Lukasz Endel as well.
And probably, possibly Musa Ali.
Musa Ali as well, yeah. And possibly, probably for no money as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we got 500,000 each for Fila and Rusek, 300 for Krejci.
Yeah.
And those are the only players we've got money for in his entire 5 years at the club, despite having this, frankly, pretty bloody good youth setup.
We have a very good youth setup.
And we haven't signed anyone for any money throughout his entire reign. The thing is, we used to be quite good at this. If you go back sort of 15 years or so, and this is, this is, as you say, a thing that we were good at. We've got a very good youth setup. The last player before that we sold for actual money was, we got 1.2 million euros for Lukasz Maracek in 2010. We sold him to Anderlecht. And in 2008, a combination of Lubosz Kaluda to CSKA Moscow, Ondra Mazuch to Fiorentina, and Mario Holek to Dnipro netted Zbrojovka 10 million euros in combined transfer fees. In the time since then, I think, according to Transfermarkt, we have spent €310,000 on players. And we haven't signed a single player for money under Pogačar's entire reign. So, yeah, the combination of Bartoniek and Pogačar is really something to behold.
Yeah. I'm not particularly disappointed with him leaving the club,
no.
Put it that way. I wonder as well if it's because, will he want to continue in such roles as being like a director of football somewhere else? I feel he's got the sort of ego that he would like to keep doing something like that. And I think it becomes particularly difficult to do that if you are the director of football of a team that has just got relegated, rather than someone going just before, you know, the sort of the ship goes over the horizon, let's say.
Yeah.
So it feels a bit like that. If it's vindictive, I hope it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But congratulations on the club for making it to become a bit more of a basket case, day by day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did you see the club statement?
I did not see the club statement.
There was a club statement released.
You love a club statement.
I do. Yes. Yeah. And I have it on my laptop there. I'm not actually going to read it out because it's a statement that doesn't actually say anything.
Okay.
It says, you know, it's like the club would like to release a statement. I'm paraphrasing, of course. You know, release a statement around recent media hypotheses about the team. So if you want, David, you know, club statement : media hypotheses, which basically says the results aren't very good. We're going to evaluate stuff in the summer. That's all it really says.
Right.
It doesn't actually address it. It doesn't name Thomas Pogačar. It doesn't name anyone by name at all. Just that they're disappointed with results and they'll look into stuff. Don't know why that's been released.
Weird, weird, weird. Yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, they tweeted about this new interview that's going to go up, you know, as part of the match day preparations. Great. Right. Yeah. Oh, by the way, please come to Zlín. Please come to Zlín. That's what they've started doing today as well. Oh, they've had all the stuff out on the social media about, you know, everyone to come to the Zlín game. Well, you know.
Yeah, not sure about that.
Nothing. I don't want to go to any game.
Okay. Anyway, let's before we go into we've got left? Beer of the podcast, another quiz, and the state of play. But before all of that, we're going to have a quick word from our sponsor, and then something very much else.
Co budeš vařit? Chtějí něco dobrého a přitom zdravého?
Vždyť mám ten Prima recept ze sojového masa.
Pekingské maso. Přidáme vepřová játra, obalíme ve škrobu s vajíčkem, osmahneme na oleji, k tomu zeleninu a zálivku a je to hotové.
A báječně to chutná.
Bonavita. Potraviny nové generace.
Is this where I go, it's time for a quiz?
It is.
Okay. It's time for a quiz. Following on, David, from the roaring success of Is This a Genuine Team in the FA Vase?
Good, yeah.
I, for some reason, was scouting the various power leagues of the United Kingdom.
Oh, lovely.
Power League, for those who don't know, is basically a network of centres that organise 5- and 7-a-side football leagues for keen amateurs. I have a list of team names here.
Superb.
I would like you to tell me, is this a real team name that plays in a power league in the UK, or have I made it up?
Okay.
And I have 12 of them.
Christ.
Pick a number and we'll get going.
Okay, 7.
7, Giroud Sandstorm.
As in Olivier...
Olivier Giroud and Derude's seminal trance hit Sandstorm.
Yes.
You're saying yes?
Yeah.
Tuesday nights in Gateshead.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Lovely.
Pick a number.
3.
Bayer Lederhosen.
I really want them to be like a sort of team of Bavarian sort of diaspora. I'm going to say yes.
Bayer Lederhosen, I made up.
Oh, well done.
Sorry about that. Pick a number.
10.
FC 20 a day.
Oh, this is so difficult. It shouldn't be so difficult. Yes.
Playing Stoke on a Wednesday.
Oh.
All right. I'll ask you to pick a couple more numbers and then I'll just start going in between them all. All right. Pick a number.
1.
Is your mother well?
Is your mother well? No.
Play on Glasgow Adults Division 2, I'm afraid, on a Wednesday. So, yes, is your mother well, a Power League team?
I'm going to go with 11.
11. Turkey or not Turkey?
No.
I made that one up.
Yes.
Okay, we'll now go for some others then. Substandard Liège.
Yes, that is.
Glasgow Monday nights.
Good, yep.
Goals allowed.
Yes.
There are about 10 different teams across the nation in Power League that are called Goals Allowed. We will go for Bayern Munich.
No, you made that up.
Bayern Munich playing Coventry on a Tuesday night.
Oh, no.
Bayern Munich. That one. Okay. Real Sociedad.
You made that up.
I did make that one up. Yeah. Yes. It's good. I think we have about three more to go.
Okay.
We will go with Net 6 and Chill.
Net 6 and Chill.
Net 6 and Chill.
That's real.
They play in Luton.
Yeah. Okay.
Then we will go, we have 2 more. We will go with Galatasaray.
No.
Made that one up as well.
Yes.
And last but by no means least, Tekker Slovakia.
Tekker's Slovakia?
Tekker's Slovakia.
It's so bad it's got to be real.
Tekker Slovakia, Manchester Central on a Monday.
I know him so well.
Can I also?
I feel I did bloody well on that, to be honest.
Can I also point out as well that there are some unbelievably, like, not like bad pun sort of team names going in Power League, but some of them that just have zero effort put in.
Right.
There's literally one that's just called like FC Gary.
Yeah, that's dreadful.
So it's like, yeah, nonsense. So
in the brief time I did fantasy football. Which I don't do because I don't care about it and I can't be bothered to change it. I was always just Coventry Schmitty.
See, that's not play on your name, though.
Exactly, yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, I would like to give a specific shout out to Bayern Munich, which I think is good. Fantastic.
Yeah.
The good people of Coventry Power League doing that there.
Yeah, coming up trumps again. Lovely.
So please let us know on social media if you actually like these is this a real team name or not quizzes, because I'll keep doing them.
I do. I think they're great. But that's just me.
Yeah.
Right. It's time for Beer of the Podcast after this little bit.
Beer of the Podcast.
No messing there, straight in.
I think we all need a drink in times like these.
Yeah, no messing. As this beer also has no messing, to the point where it has no label at all.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, have you made this in your bath?
I have not made it in my bath, but I did get it from the Pivni Lekarna around the corner, who have started. They've got a tap in, and they're now. You know, you can go and buy a litre bottle of whichever two they have on tap. At the moment, they've got an APA, which I thought you wouldn't like.
Yeah.
And
you're correct.
They have a basic 11-degree lager called, appropriately, Mr. Cottel.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Pan Boiler. Monsieur, bit where the ultras stand.
That sponsor for West Brom, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Boiler,
yeah.
Man.
Mr. Boiler. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, it's fresh from their barrels, just poured into a random plastic bottle with no label, and it's 113 crowns for a litre, plus 7 crowns for the bottle, so 120 for the litre.
But you can use that bottle again.
You can use that bottle again, kids. Please do. So, yeah, it's just your basic sort of 11 degree, but it's their own... just lager, I think. So we'll give this a go.
Well, to absent friends and absent defending.
Yeah. Mmm, smells lagery.
Mm-hmm. Tastes lagery. That'll do. That's all right.
Yeah.
You could chin a few of them.
Yeah, that's very nice. Very, very clean.
Yes, it's clean tasting. But it's got something in the...
Yeah, it's got a bit of a bite at the end to it.
It tastes a bit like that beer that they used to have in Zastavka. I can't remember what it was called, though. I know that's not very good podcast content, but...
Yeah, no, it's perfectly inoffensive, perfectly, like, slightly bitter.
Yeah.
Slightly bitter to it, but yeah, easily drinkable.
Yeah, you could knock a few of those back, couldn't you? The problem is that I'm, you know, at the moment also drinking a 23-crown can of Zlatopramen. And let me tell you, it's going to be, you know, once you've had caviar, you can't, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
This is the thing. Well done. Perfectly serviceable beer. A beer that you can... We haven't had one of these for a while, actually. A beer that you... I was going to say... This is not very academic at all. A beer you could drink lots of. You know what I mean? Like, you could go to a pub and then spend all afternoon drinking that.
Yeah,
where you can't with some of the stuff that we've been doing recently.
Yeah, we've done quite complicated things recently. It's nice to have just a well-made local lager.
It is.
So, yeah.
And it's why Czech Lager is so good as well, isn't it? Because you get smaller breweries doing stuff like that, and people will drink it, and people will drink it more than... the, you know, commercially available stuff, if it's there and if it's in pubs.
Yeah, I actually went in, because it's not a pub, it's a shop, it's a tiny little brew shop. I went in there were 7 people just standing in there having pints next to the fridges.
Yeah.
Not even a pub, just somebody that people somewhere that people like to go.
Yeah.
Because their beer on tap is really, really good. And the bloke who runs it is really nice. So, yeah. Great stuff. We've got one final section, and it is the state of play right now.
Here we go.
Yes, I mean, you said you'd do it.
So. And I am, and boy am I doing it. Crying while I type. we're in for a ride here, let's go. Okay, it's the state of play, and let me tell you, it's looking bleak. So, after 2 games of this group for all teams, the relegation group of the checked off light, the table currently is as follows. At top is Banik Ostrava on 39 points, followed closely behind them on 38 points with Teplice, Jablonec on 37, and then there is a jump. The jump then going to Zbrojovka Brno on 31 points, Pardubice on 31, and Zlín on 27.
Oh, now you've mentioned that, can I just say very quickly that at the very end of the Pardubice game, we were sort of, I was sort of, you know, sort of jabbed on the shoulder by an English lad and his 2 mates who I think live in Austria and had come over to Brno for the weekend, thought they'd catch some football, and... saw that we were third or fourth and decided this will be an excellent game to go to, not realising that we were third or fourth in the relegation group. They thought this was going to be like a battle for the title. They were severely disappointed by what they saw. Apologies to those lads if they're listening. I did point them in the direction of the pod, so... Yeah.
Do your research. What the hell? Like, Zbrojovka Brno were precisely good for 1.5 years in the 1970s. That's been it, basically. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a real struggle at this point. Right now, sort of, you know, going back over the last couple of fixtures, Jablonec are keeping their heads above water with two draws, one each against both Zlín and Baník. Teplice have really come out of the traps with victories against Pardubice and Zlín, though, of course, that we are talking about, you know, the teams that were 15th and 16th here. Zlín game was a close-run affair. You may have seen that there was a late Zlín equaliser, which was chalked off, which allowed Teplice to get all of the points. From these last fortnight's worth of games, Baník, Teplice, Jablonec are all mathematically safe from direct relegation, meaning it is one of Zlín, Pardubice, or ourselves that will be going down, down, deeper, and down. Huge game this weekend, Pardubice home to Zlín. Pardubice have looked reasonable over the past few weeks and will be up for this. Baník are at home to Teplice, and Zbrojovka are away to Jablonec.
Great.
Even if both Pardubice and Zbrojovka win, the victor in the Ostrava-Teplice game will be mathematically safe.
Okay.
With two games to spare. A draw is likely to be fine for both of them, if we're being honest, because there is that 6-point gap.
Yeah.
There. Before I... I will go on to the next round of fixtures, and then we'll have a quick look at the second tier, because obviously this is all the matches are taking place in the space of a Zbrojovcast. Basically, we have this weekend, and then we have midweek Wednesday, where we'll be away to Teplice.
Yeah, and then we have the final
round at home to Zlín. So you know, that is a game itself, that game in Zlín, that's increasingly looking like a dead rubber. Actually, it's perfectly plausible. I sort of hope it's perfectly plausible, to be honest, that Zlín are already relegated and Zbrojovka can't escape the playoff groups. I mean, there is a very slim chance at this point that we can make the great escape here, but it's going to really mean that we're going to have to realistically win all of our matches.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I'll put cards on the table here, David. I don't think we're going to win any of our other matches the way that we're going.
Yeah, fair enough.
However, there is a really slight chance, and this feels plausible actually, that the final game could be a relegation decider. In order for that to happen, Zlín need to make up a 4-point deficit in their next two matches. Pardubice and then Baník at home. Baník at home. That could very, very easily be a Baník on the beach.
Yeah.
And that's going to absolutely play.
And they would love to screw us over as well. Oh, well, their fans would, definitely.
That's absolutely it. So if they make up 4 points, I mean, you know, we may win or get a point or something on the final day. I just do not ever see us winning against Jablonec or Teplice away.
No.
So what then would happen is, if we are equal on points, that game will likely matter in the sense that we have a better head-to-head and that we have one win, which is a 3-2 win, and a 2-each draw, I think it was. So it could even go into goals scored. But then if Zlín are going into the final day needing a win away to save themselves, the one team that I would want to be going to is the team that has the worst home record in the league.
Yep. Hi.
So that is the big problem. I would say at this point, and I'm a betting man anyway, to make a prediction at this point, I think we maybe just narrowly escape going directly down.
Yeah, so let's say we finish 15th. Who are we going to be possibly, probably, maybe, likely facing in the playoffs?
It's still so close.
It is really close.
So top of the table and looking to go directly up, there is now a 4-point cushion for MF Karviná with 49 points. Second with 45 points are Vyškov. Third are Příbram with 44 points. Actually, I'll keep going down the points because this is just mad. Vishkov, 45. Przybram, 44. Fourth place is Lishen with 43. Fifth place is Varnsdorf with 42. Sixth place is Dukla Prague with 40.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we still have four games to go in the... three games to go in the second tier.
Mm-hmm.
There is, and a very, very slim hope. This is a hugely slim hope. But if lots of results were to go against a couple of teams and Sparta Prague B were able to win all of their matches, if they went into one of the playoff spots, there would not be a playoff.
Yeah.
However, they are on 38 points.
Yeah, it's going to take a fair swing.
They're 6 points off third. So yeah, I think that that's probably gone. I would assume that, well, no, you never know as well with the teams like Dukla, because there is, you know, still a lot to play. Like Lishen against Dukla Prague is the last game of the season for Lishen. And they've got a very winnable game against Trinets coming up next, and they also who are bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after that, they have Slavia Prague B, who are 14th.
Yeah.
So those are eminently winnable games for them. Vishkov have again, okay. They're going to be playing Jihlavan 13th and Chrudim in 10th.
Yeah.
Chrudim have a track record of being a spoiler for these sorts of things, though, so you never know what's going to happen there. Przybram are also playing Jihlava and also playing Sparta Prague B with Taborsko being their final game. And just to round it off, Varnsdorf are playing Chrudim Karvina, mm-hmm. which is going to be a huge game on the 24th of May. And then they are at home to Opava, who have had an awful
season. Appalling season for Opava, yeah.
15th, 27 points, 2 points from safety at the moment.
Yeah.
It could be...
What a fall from grace that would be.
They would... I would say by some distance in the last few years, that would be the biggest team that drops down into the seaside leagues, speak. Because, I mean, other teams that have been quite, well, I would say are historically or whatever, quite big-ish, who have gone down are teams like Victoria Žižkov and Ustinad Labem. Ustinad Labem have not had a great season whatsoever.
Who have been kind of bouncing around the second league for a while and not really... Yeah.
Opava's huge fan base.
And also absolutely lead ballooning it from the first league. Just, you know, straight out the other side, basically.
It's not a really good look for them. So, I mean, if you're a neutral, and if you are a neutral... Fair play for listening to us, Brojovka Brno, English language podcast. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens at, you know, the top of the second and the bottom of the first. But really worrying times from a Brno perspective, because we're getting to the stage now where we're looking and going, the way we're playing, who can we actually beat?
Yeah.
We can go back to, I think it was just before Easter, we actually had a bit of a sort of a bounce game when there was the break with Opava, who are not good. We played an experimental team, but we only came out with a 1-0 victory there as well against a team that is possibly crashing out of the second tier.
Yeah,
this is now starting to seem a bit prophetic.
Yeah, and on, on form and morale, we're not beating anyone at this point. Yeah.
On that high note,
yeah.
Thank you for enduring what has mostly just been an angry rant about the team. If you would like to join...
There were quizzes.
There were a couple of quizzes. The quizzes were good, to be fair.
There might be more of them instead of just match reports.
As we put our fingers in our ears and our hands over our eyes as the season draws to a close. If you would like to join in with a shout and a cry, please interact and follow us on all social media platforms, both Facebook and Twitter.com/Zbrojovcast.
Yep. And as ever, thanks for listening, listener. We will speak to you again when we know more, when we know exactly what our fate is.
May God have mercy on us all.
Bye.
to wait to see how things turn out. If you apply some pressure, I like to wait to see how.